talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right back to the front lines of history in the making. Going back to the COVID relief bill. $1.9 trillion, the House passed it on Friday. Every Republican voted against it, everyone. The Democrats, everyone but two voted for it. The two that didn't, Congressman from Maine, one from Colorado. They had kind of dumb and meandering reasons for doing that. I don't think it helps them at all, but in any event, we had enough votes to pass it. We're talking about how we're going to get it through the Senate. The Senate parliamentarian ruled last week that because it wasn't budget related, therefore it couldn't be part of a budget reconciliation bill and had to come out. That's advisory vote. She doesn't have the power to do that. Kamala Harris could reverse that. All Joe Biden has to do is tell her to do it. Backed up by the 50 votes in the Senate, and it could be reversed. Progressives want Biden to do it. Why is Biden saying we're going to do it a different way? Reason he and Pelosi and Schumer are saying that is because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema very likely would not vote for a bill that had a $15 an hour minimum wage. Then we'd only have 48 votes. Kamala Harris wouldn't even get in the picture and nothing to get passed. Why would Joe Manchin do that? Why would Kyrsten Sinema do that? Joe Manchin represents West Virginia, not a wealthy state. A lot of people in West Virginia would get a raise if the minimum were 15. But there's been enough propaganda out there that somehow, if it went to 15, especially right away, a lot of jobs would be eliminated. What people don't understand is 15 was not suggested to be implemented today or tomorrow or even this year or even next year. It would get to 15 in a couple of years. In the meantime, it would go up to somewhere in the eights and the tens and so on. In 1968, the minimum wage adjusted for inflation was $10.50 an hour. 1968. That is 53 years ago. It was $3 higher than it is now. 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. So even bringing it up to $10.50 right now, people say it would cost jobs. It didn't cost them back in 1968. Didn't cost it back then. And then to goose it up some to the 15 by the mid-20s sometime. At some point, when it does turn to 15 an hour, the year 2023 or four, that'll be the equivalent of 12 or 13 an hour or less. You see what I mean? Inflation chips away at this. Inflation chips away at this. So what they are deciding in the Senate right now is how to get 15 in a way that does impact the budget and can be put in this bill and Manchin can vote for it. One of them is to penalize large corporations, Walmart, Menards, and so on. If they don't pay 15, they have to pay a penalty. Another is tax 5%. 5% tax on large corporations with people if their payroll is less than 15. The other one is give tax credits to small business up to 25% of wages with a cap of 10,000 per employee if they pay the higher wages. In other words, that would end up being the government paying part of those wages. I think it would be a good idea. That's the only way to get it through. I'd rather just see him go to 15. Look, the deal is this. The vast majority of people would finally receive, it's not exactly a living wage, but 15 an hour. If you put in a 2,000 hour of work, a year work, it's 30,000, barely above the poverty line. But, you know, having people work for $7.25 an hour, you can say if they're high school kids, that's a good way to start out. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of people have a couple of minimum wage jobs where they're trying to survive. And that's got to be solved. That's got to be solved. So stand by. We'll see what the Senate does. They've got to pass it by mid-March because Trump, strike that, Biden is going to have to sign it in time to get it online so that people's unemployment comp does not run out. Thinking of Trump, largely because he started his vengeance campaign in earnest in Ohio. There's a guy, there's a congressman named Anthony Gonzalez, and anybody who likes the NFL may have heard of him. He was a football player for the Baltimore Colts. He was a good college player. He's now in Congress. He's a conservative, but he voted to impeach Trump. He voted to impeach him. So Trump is on a revenge kick and has now endorsed a guy named Max Miller, young guy with nothing on the ball, except that at one time he was a White House aide for Trump. Now, I don't know. When they say White House aide, that's a pretty slippery term. You could say that the chief of staff is a White House aide, and you could also say an intern is a White House aide. So this guy Miller, apparently a little wet behind the ears. I have no idea what he did. He comes blinking out in the sunlight, and they drag him out to what? Be in Congress and beat Anthony Gonzalez? I don't think so. I don't think so. Anthony Gonzalez, very popular, great football player, Baltimore Colts. And the fact of the matter is that this is a revenge thing. But that's what Trump's doing. He's out to get people. And he said at the CPAC, the conference, he mentioned them all by name. He fingered them all. All 10 Republicans who voted to impeach him, all the Republicans who voted to convict him, and some who didn't vote to convict him, like Moscow Mitch, said he's got to go. The problem for him is Moscow Mitch just got reelected. He's in for 6 years. Moscow Mitch isn't going anywhere. Unfortunately, I wish Amy McGrath had beaten him. But there you have it. It's a dysfunctional party, and stay tuned. Stay tuned. Two of the people who are the most dysfunctional were Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Ted Cruz of Texas, Josh Hawley of Missouri. They were at the CPAC. Hawley's the guy that raised his fist in homage as a salute to the insurrectionists who went on to kill, brain damage, eye gouge, stab, and rip the fingers off of police officers. Cruz is the guy who back in 2016, Trump said his father was in on the assassination of JFK. His wife was no good. And Cruz lashed out at Trump back then and lately has been subservient like a poodle. Right after Trump said that back in 2016, when it looked like Trump was going to win, Cruz actually manned a phone bank for Trump after he said his dad was in on the assassination of JFK and he insulted his wife. Cruz has no self-respect. And of course, there's the Cancun trip where they texted everybody and their buddies, join us at the Ritz-Carlton. It's nice and warm down in Cancun. Well, these two characters are at CPAC. And both of them are defiant. And both of them get standing ovations. They're defiant about the insurrection. They say it wasn't their fault, wasn't Trump's fault, wasn't Trump's supporters. And they continue to object to the certification of Joe Biden as president right at CPAC yesterday. Actually, they spoke, they spoke before Trump, maybe the day before, over the weekend. They're still fighting the certification of all 50 states, including by Republican governors and Republican secretaries of state. And they're still fighting about the riot, claiming that somebody else must have done it. And they got standing ovations. Cruz got a standing ovation for saying Trump ain't going anywhere. Hawley got a standing ovation as well. This is a party that's seriously, seriously damaged. I do not think that you can reconstruct the Republican Party. You can't go back to Eisenhower. You can't go back to Bob Dole, to Reagan, to George H.W. Bush, to George W. Bush, to John McCain. You cannot go back to that. You can't go back to that with these kind of characters. So stay tuned. Where does it go? But that is what happened over the weekend. A disturbing development down in Arizona. The legislature down there is really bad news. Gerrymandered, right-wing Republican, but really kind of survivalist militia-type Republicans. They continue to object to Arizona, believe it or not, to Arizona's electors going to Biden, even though he won. And they just got a judge, conservative judge, to order that the ballots, that the election commissioners turn the ballots and the machines in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, over to the state Senate. Well, good luck with that. You might as well turn it over to Putin. They'll come out and they'll say, oh, look at what we found. And you'll never know if they jimmied them themselves, what they did. Hey, guys, the election's over. And even not counting your electors, Biden won big time. He won hugely, bigly. He won bigly, okay? You understand bigly? You savvy bigly? He won bigly. And they're still doing it. And they have a bill, believe this or not, that would make it a felony for an elected official to extend a deadline. In other words, in Pennsylvania, when they extended because of COVID and the breakdown in the mail because of the destruction of the sorting machines, that they could receive the ballots a few days late, that would be a felony in Arizona, even though it was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. Even though it was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. And they're also putting in a bill that lets the legislature pick the electors, not people in a primary. We're going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.